prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee this evening for the privilege again to come into thy presence. We ask, O God, that tonight you be pleased to come and presence thyself with us in a very real and particular way. Move amongst us tonight, we pray. And Lord, give us help, Lord, around the word of God and the preaching of the gospel of Christ. So hear and answer prayer. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. I'm just going to give a few announcements at this stage and then hand over to Adam. Do remember meetings in the Lord's will this week. We have our Bible study and prayer meeting on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock in the will of the Lord. And we continue our studies in the great high priestly prayer of Christ. Then for our elders, to remember that there is a presbytery meeting this Friday night, Friday at 8 o'clock in the Martyrs' Church. Then on Saturday morning, there is a children's workers training seminar that has been organised by the mission boards held here in the church. And for all those who are signed up, please do remember that. It starts at 10 o'clock, running through until 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Next Lord's Day, 11:30 and 6:30 are two main services. I'll be here to preach in the will of the Lord, and we have the Lord's table after the morning service. Michael and Hazel Saunderson will be here to sing in the will of the Lord next Sunday night. Do remember the youth works as they recommence over the next number of weeks. Sunday school here and in Hollywood, and the Bible class recommence on Sunday the 10th of September, and Explorers Club starts on Tuesday the 12th of September, youth fellowship commencing that week as well, Friday the 15th of September. So please do remember all these works in your prayers, that the Lord would be pleased to bring back the children and young people and bring back others as well. Our next family and friends service is on Sunday the 10th of September, this night 2 weeks. Our sister June Bird, who was formerly in the Jehovah's Witness and followed that cult for some years, and yet the Lord saved her, is coming along to testify at that occasion at Sunday the 10th of September at 6:30. Then do remember the graduation and commencement service for the Whitfield College of the Bible that's been held in the Martyrs' Church on Monday the 11th of September at 8 o'clock. The moderator will be preaching and there will be tea afterwards for everyone. Then do remember our church outing, Saturday the 16th of September. And if you are still hoping to go and you haven't got your name down yet, please do so today if possible. Do remember the offering box is available as you leave for your offerings and for your tithes. And we make, as always, these announcements subject to the will of the Lord. I'm just going to hand over to Adam to lead the rest of the meeting.
Morning praise this evening. We're going to sing together as the hymn 215. Hymn 215, if you're using your hymn book tonight, it's hymn 263, where the words will be up on screen. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. This is a great hymn that points us to the cross and to our Saviour, and so we'll stand to sing hymn 215 this evening, please.
Thank you.
heads together in a word of prayer. Let's seek the face of God tonight and seek his blessing upon our meeting tonight. Let's just pray. Our gracious God and our eternal Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this evening, and we thank thee for the access that we have unto thee in prayer tonight. Lord, we come boldly with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts through the merits and through the finished work of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we come claiming and thanking thee for the gospel message that we have to proclaim. We thank thee for that place called Calvary. We thank thee for our Saviour and for our Redeemer. We thank thee for Christ who came into this world and who lived that perfect life, the one who was separate from sinners. Lord, that spotless, that sinless Lamb of God, and the one who went all the way to Calvary's cross and laid down his life freely in our place, who died in our stead. He died the just for the unjust. And we thank thee for the blood that was shed on the cross. We thank thee tonight that there is power in the gospel, there is power in the blood of Christ to cleanse from every stain of sin. And Lord, we thank thee tonight for the knowledge of sins forgiven. For each of thy people gathered here this evening, we have a knowledge to know that we have peace with God. Lord, we have been reconciled back unto thee through that blood. Tonight we are redeemed, and we thank thee for the standing that we have to know that we are accepted in the beloved tonight through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that Christ, he did not remain on the cross, he did not remain in the tomb, but on the third day he rose again triumphant o'er the grave, and he ascended back up to glory, and even now he reigns on high as King, the one who is supreme, the one who is eternal. And yet, Lord, tonight we recognize that there is coming a day where the Saviour will return, but he will not return as Saviour, but as Judge. And Lord, we pray tonight that as the gospel is presented, that even that as the invitation is given to sinners tonight, Lord, that they would not turn away that rejection, but oh, tonight they would come, they would accept that call in the gospel. Lord, that you would call some soul by thy irresistible, thy matchless grace. And oh Lord, that salvation would visit this place, that some soul tonight would leave the house of God and would return to her house being justified. And Lord, to that end tonight, we pray for our minister. We pray for Mr. Wilson. We pray especially as he would come and he would preach the word of God tonight. We pray that you would be everything that he would need. Lord, we pray that thy grace and thy strength would fill him. Lord, fill him with thy spirit that he may preach thy word with power tonight. And Lord, may he be pleased to take up thy word and to apply it to each and to every waiting heart. Lord, we pray for us, thy believing people, that Lord, that you would teach us more of thy gospel and thy grace. Lord, help us to love thee more. Help us to follow thee more. We realize that we only love thee because thou first loved us. Now, Lord, tonight we pray for some soul that perhaps is backslidden, fallen away into sin, maybe one that has never tasted of the grace of God. Well, Lord, tonight we thank thee for another opportunity. Lord, that they're under the gospel preaching. And, Lord, tonight, may you come with power that word. May it break down that heart. And, Lord, may it result in the salvation of souls. Lord, we pray for all of those who are gathered in tonight. Lord, thou knowest each and every one of us. Lord, thou knowest the needs that we have in all of our lives. And, Lord, we commit our entire way unto thee. We trust in thee, knowing that thou wilt bring all things to pass. Lord, come and meet us all. Speak to us tonight. May you draw alongside and help us even to shut out the distractions of the week that lies ahead. Help us to shut ourselves out from the things of this world and for this time to come into thy presence and to be still and to know that thou art God. Lord, we think of our nation tonight and our land. Lord, we know that we live in days where there is a departure from the things of God, Lord, a day where evil is called good and good is called evil. We live in a day that very much we are fit for the judgment of God. Yet tonight we cry and we pray for mercy, that in thy wrath thou would have mercy upon us. Help us as a land to acknowledge our wanderings from thee and our failings. Help us to confess our sin afresh. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst in turn shine thy face again upon us. Lord, come in revival, blessing and power even amongst our land in these days. Lord, come and breathe upon us with that breath from heaven. May you open up the storehouses of heaven and pour that shower of blessing upon this thirsty and this barren land. Lord, our eyes are upon thee. Our heart and our minds, our faith is in thee and in thee alone. We know our help cometh from above. And so, Lord, tonight we pray that you would be our portion and you would be our strength. Help us in this service to praise thee as we ought. And Lord, we pray that all of our worship and our praise would be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, help us tonight to see Christ, see him exalted. And Lord, in doing so, exalt thy Son and draw men and women on to the Savior. Lord, come and bless us all and do us good, we pray. We pray now that thy presence would be upon us and would continue upon us in every aspect of this meeting this evening. Lord, take up all of the glory unto thyself, for Lord, thou art worthy of all of this. We pray all of these things in the name of Christ, and for his sake alone we ask. Amen. We're going to turn tonight in the Word of God to the book of Genesis, please. The first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, and the chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. Genesis 19, we're going to commence our reading from the verse 14 of this chapter down to the end of verse 26. Genesis chapter 19, and we'll begin our reading tonight in verse number 14 of the chapter. And the word of God says, "And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife, and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind me, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now the city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. O let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Soar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Soar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." And we end our reading at the end of verse 26, and we know the Lord will bless the public reading of his word to our hearts this evening. At this stage of our service, we're going to sing another hymn before our minister comes to bring the word of God. Tonight, we're going to sing the words of hymn 334. It was down at the feet of Jesus, oh, the happy, happy day, that my soul found peace in believing, and my sins were washed away. Hymn 334, and we'll stand again after we get the introduction, please. Sees, we just call upon our minister, Mr. Wilson, to come and present the gospel tonight, and we pray the Lord will bless him and use him as he comes to preach the word of God.
Turn with me, please, again to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. Again, we appreciate Adam's help today and thank him for preaching this morning and leading the meeting tonight. I would have liked him to have preached as well tonight, but I thought I better say something, since you haven't really seen me or heard of me much this summer, but trust the Lord will help us and be with us tonight. I trust you'll forgive me for this throat. For 2 weeks when I was in Kenya, my mouth was dry the whole time. Every time I got up to speak, this tongue was stuck to the roof of my mouth. I'm not sure what the problem was. Maybe it was all the air conditioning in the planes, or just all that African dust that I've been breathing in over this past couple of months, of which there was a lot. But anyway, pray the Lord will bless us and give us help as we come to his word tonight. Genesis chapter 19, in verse 26, we want to look tonight at the subject of looks could kill. Verse 26 we read, but his wife, that's Lot's wife, looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Let's just seek God's help again, and pray the Lord will bless us as we come to his word for tonight. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee this evening for the word of God. We thank thee, Lord, for thy truth tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for revealing to us, Lord, the way of salvation. We thank thee, Lord, as well for the many warnings in the word of God. We thank thee, Lord, for each one in this meeting, Lord, who have obeyed the warnings of Scripture, who have fled from the wrath of God. But, O God, we pray tonight as we come, Lord, to this most solemn account of Scripture, Lord, right at the very commencement of the word of God, how we read, Lord, how that death and destruction came. O God, we pray that tonight there will be those in this meeting, Lord, will flee from God's wrath. They'll run to Christ tonight, Lord, that they'll learn the lessons, Lord, of a life that was given over to rebellion. O God, we pray that tonight, rather than there being a rebelling heart, we ask, O God, there'll be a repentant heart. And Lord, that sinners will come to faith in Jesus Christ tonight. Bless thy word, O God, we pray. Give us help just now in the preaching and the proclamation of the word of God. And Lord, move amongst us and pour out your spirit upon us, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. It is a well-established fact that you can tell how someone is feeling by their facial expressions. If we're confused or bewildered or not sure exactly what's going on, well, our faces will soon tell us that. Or if we're sad, that can be seen in our faces as well. But likewise, if we're happy, that will too be evident by the expression of our faces. But if we're cross and if we're upset or annoyed about something or with someone, well, that will soon come across on our facial expressions. And such a truth has given rise to that well-known saying, if looks could kill. And that simply means that by someone's angry, cross look, that it's so intense that if looks could kill, that person would be dead on the spot. We read about an account tonight in the Word of God about a look that was so intense, so pointed, that it did actually kill someone on the spot. And it is, of course, the account of Luke's wife, a woman who is nameless in Scripture, known only as the wife of Lot. Over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, in the verse 32, we are told to remember Lot's wife. The Lord Jesus Christ has been speaking to the Pharisees, and he speaks to them and he recounts to them this account given to us here in Genesis chapter 19, because he's speaking to the Pharisees there in Luke 17 about the coming kingdom and the coming judgment of God. And his answer to them, his command to them, was for them to be ready for the coming judgment of God. He was telling them, he was warning them to be prepared because God was going to judge the world. And he compared the judgment of God to the flood. He compared to the judgment of God to the judgment that was rained down on Sodom and Gomorrah. And in the midst of all of that, in the midst of all his speaking with the Pharisees that day, he makes this very simple statement over in Luke's Gospel 17. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. And he's taking them back here to this account in Genesis chapter 19, where we read about a lady, known only to us as Lot's wife, who was warned to flee from the judgment of God and who actually was in the process of fleeing. But she didn't get there. And by a look, that look that we read of in verse 26, a look back to the old life, a look back to the old ways, she came under the immediate judgment of God. And by one look, her life was ended. In the moment of time, her life came to an end. As she looked back, she was immediately cast out into hell and God's eternity. Looks can and do kill. They did so here for this woman that we know of Lot's wife. And tonight in the gospel, we want to consider this account and consider something about her life and her death. First of all, I want us to see here her disobedience. Her disobedience. Let's just set some context for this story. Lot was the nephew of Abraham. There are two clans. There were given the choice to choose a particular part of the land. There had been an uprising. There had been a rebellion amongst their herdsmen. And the choice was given. Which part of the land were they to dwell in? Abraham, he was going to go to Canaan, but rather Lot. He wanted to live in the well-watered plains of Jordan. And so he pitched his tents close to this place of Sodom, where the people were exceedingly wicked. They were exceedingly sinful. And if we know any of the story and the later on story of Sodom and Gomorrah, we know that God was going to destroy this city because of their wickedness. And even after Abraham pleaded with his nephew, God sent two angels to Lot to warn them and his family that the judgment was coming upon that city, coming upon that area where they lived, and they were to flee. Now, such was the wickedness of that city that even the people there sought to abuse the very angels of God. But eventually Lot did flee. And his family, although they hesitated, and the angels grabbed the hands of Lot and his wife and his two daughters and took them out of the city as God was raining down his judgment upon that city. And God gave them a command not to look back. As they were fleeing, God said, "Don't look back." And all but one of them obeyed. The one who disobeyed was Lot's wife. Because we read in verse 26, "But his wife looked back." His wife looked back. She disobeyed the command of God. Now let's remember whose wife she was. She was the wife of Lot. A man who, with all his faults, yet a man who is recorded in the New Testament as being a righteous man. You see, here was a lady who had so many privileges. She was married to a man who was saved, a man who had failures, a man who had faults, yes, but a man who was saved, a righteous man. Lot's uncle was the father of all the faithful, one of the great patriarchs of the faith. And yet for all of those righteous privileges, yet she still perished. She still disobeyed God and died as she lived in her sin. Here was a woman married to a just man, and yet she died and went to hell. You see, folks, we've got to remember that grace doesn't flow in the bloodstream. Grace, the saving grace of God, doesn't flow through families. And you may have those in your family that are saved, those in your family who know and love the Lord, but that does not mean that you are saved. One of the great curses today, in particularly in Protestant circles, is that people have some sort of an adherence to the things of God, and somebody in their family is saved, and they think that will be enough. That will not be enough. Lot's wife was privileged. Lot's wife was there when Abraham had received all the promises from God, how that God was going to bless him. Abraham was there when Melchizedek came and met Abraham. And she literally, if you read the accounts there, she literally at the hands of God's own angels, and in spite of all of that, she died graceless. She died without hope. She died in her sin. She may have been outwardly conformed to her husband's religion, but in her heart, she was determined to live her own way and do her own thing. We are saved by grace, but only by faith in that saving grace can we have this salvation. A knowledge of it, a head knowledge of it, is not enough. Lot's wife never had any saving faith, sadly. Oh, in spite of all the privileges she had, a lady of immense privilege, not financial, not secular, but spiritual. And yet she turned her back on them all. She turned her back on all the blessings that God had given to her in her life. What a sad situation. And those who are brought up in the gospel, nurtured in the things of God, have family members who love them, who are saved, and yet they turn their back and disobey, go their own way. You see, it seemed as if this woman was so close to being saved, and yet she was lost. She made all the right efforts, but she wasn't willing to go through with God. God gave the command, don't look back. But she looked back. What did she do? She broke the law. And that's what sin is. Sin, in its simplest, clearest form, is breaking the law and the word of God. It's by disobeying God. That's what sin is. But here is a clear evidence of a lady who looked the part, for a time played the part, but disobeyed God by her refusal to heed the commands of God. Here was a woman not willing to go through with God. And she disobeyed God. It's not our society. Are there not homes tonight in this city and across our country riddled with such people? They have an association with religion. And yet they just don't want to go through with God. And they think just that association with religion, with the gospel, will be enough to save them. But if you never come to that point of turning from your sin, heeding the command of God to repent and be converted, if you never come to that point, then you will die as you were, and you will be in a lost hell, just as Lot's wife did, even though you may have all the privileges. Brought up in a godly home. Those who love you, those who pray for you, those who have sought to instruct you in the things of God, you can have all of that and yet go to a lost hell. Just like Lot's wife, by simply disobeying the word of God. You see, folks, it is no small thing to disobey God. It is no small thing to do your own thing and to go your own way. Remember, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And here was a woman who lived her life of disobedience, and she reaped the eternal punishment of God. We see her disobedience here. But I want you to see not only her disobedience, I want you to see secondly here her desire. Her desire. Here we're really coming to the whole heart of this matter. Here we're really coming to the primary reason why the Lord Jesus Christ, many, many years later on, speaking to the Pharisees, will utter that command, remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife looked back. Why? Because she loved what she was leaving behind more than what she had ahead. In other words, she loved her sin. And she loved the wickedness and the vileness of Sodom more than was all ahead of her. As we'll see in that place of safety and refuge. She looked back because her heart was still in the world. She looked back because she loved what she was leaving. Here was a woman who was willing to sacrifice her eternal soul on the altar of temporary satisfaction. Are we not told to store not up for ourselves treasures on earth? Where moth and doth corrupt break through, thieves break through and steal? Does the Lord not instruct us to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven? Here was a woman who was doing the exact opposite, laying up for herself treasures on earth. She loved the things of the world more than the things of God. And by her action of looking back, she displayed, my heart still in the world. even as Lot's wife was being delivered by the very angels of God. She couldn't help but look back to the devils of sin and wickedness in Sodom. You see, she didn't come to that point where she was willing to forsake her sin. She wasn't willing to come to that point where she was willing to leave it all behind and follow God wholeheartedly. Because you see, folks, you can't do both. You can't do both. Oh, so many people want some sort of trapping of religion. Some sort of trapping of faith. But yet live like the world. But it won't work. You cannot do both at the same time. You cannot live like the world and still tell people and believe that you're a Christian. It doesn't work. Here was a woman who made the right noises for a time, but by her look showed that her heart was still in the world. When Lot's wife looked back, as we read of there in verse 26, it revealed her love for sin and her unwillingness to leave sin behind. The scriptures tell us that where our heart is, there is also our treasure. And this woman's heart was still in the world. She still longed after the things of the world. Her treasure was in Sodom. Her treasure was in sin. And as the old saying goes, you could take Lot's wife out of Sodom, but unfortunately, you couldn't take Sodom out of Lot's wife. The angels had warned her, as the angels had warned her husband Lot and her family, flee. Flee to the mountain. Run, escape. She had every opportunity. She wasn't willing to leave it behind. When she had the opportunity to choose for God, she made the choice for sin. I wonder tonight, as you sit in this meeting, where does your heart lie? Oh, here was a woman who by her look and her looking back made it very clear her heart still lay in the world. Sadly, there are many Lot's wives still today. Many men and women just like this woman. They may run well for a time. And it may seem that they are having some form of religion. It may seem that they're going on with God, but the reality is that their hearts are still in the world. And they've never left the things of the world behind. When it came for her time to be separated, she couldn't tear herself away from the world. She'd been in it. Sad to say, she delighted in it. She reveled in it. Even though she was married to a righteous man, When the time came for her to make a decision, she chose sin. She was told to go back. She was told, don't look back. But that was too much for her. One Bible commentator put it very well when he said that her feet were taking her in the right direction, but her heart wasn't going with her. Her feet were taking her in the right direction, but her heart wasn't going with her because her heart was still in Sodom. What chilling words. What sobering words. And she did look back. And she proved that she presumed that God was wrong. She was willing to defy the command of God. She was willing to risk it all for one last love glance at the world. But that love of the world for her meant death. She wasn't willing to go through with God. Her desire was not after God, but after sin. And I say again, you can't have it both ways. You can't have your one foot in the world and one foot in the Word. Lot's wife thought she could. But she realized, as we'll see now, it didn't work. We see her disobedience. We see her desire. But finally, as we close tonight, I want us to see her destruction. Verse 26, she became a pillar of salt. Now, there's all sorts of theories and thoughts as to how all that happened. Remember, fire and brimstone, sulfur, literally falling from heaven. But what happened there in verse 26 is that the judgment of God fell. Just as it fell on Sodom, it fell on those whose heart was still in Sodom. One of those people was Lot's wife. This was sudden destruction. Sudden destruction. One second she was looking back. And the next she was looking down in a lost eternity. No soul sleep here. No purgatory here. God's judgment fell. It fell suddenly. It fell instantly. God's judgment will most definitely and most surely come. Of that we can be sure. And this woman's judgment came very suddenly too. It was serious. The Bible says she became a pillar of salt. She perished. She perished, she was swallowed up in the wrath of God. Her judgment came. And instantly, and in a moment, she was taken out of that place and taken to a place where God has forgotten to be merciful. Because in hell she never heard the angels of God telling her to flee. Because for them it was too late. This destruction was settled. Because she was gone and lost forever. No hope now for Lot's wife. No second chances. No opportunity. Just one last time. It was past. It was over. We've got to realize that in God's eternity, there will be no pardons. There will be no paroles. There'll be nothing for you but the justice and the judgment of God. Your sentence will be forever settled. She became a pillar of salt. Nothing more now of this woman but her destruction in hell. Where is Lot's wife tonight? She's still there. That's where she will spend her eternal days, because she disobeyed God, because she had a desire still after the things of this world. But I close with this thought, that her destruction, her death, her judgment was made all the sadder. Because if we notice where it happened just within sight of her city, her place of refuge, Zoar. Verse 20, that's where they were told to flee to. A little one, that's what Zoar means, just little. Verse 22, haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. That's where they were escaping to. That was the place of refuge. Lot's wife died, perished within sight of her only refuge. Many ways we can compare Zoar to Christ. But suffice to say that your only place of refuge tonight is Christ. The only way where you can escape the judgment of God is found in Christ and in Christ alone, by faith, saving faith in Jesus Christ. Others were in the city of Sodom when the judgment fell. But here was this woman, she was outside the city. But more than that, she was right close to the city of refuge. That place where the Lord had told her to flee to. A place where the judgment would not fall. Where is your place of protection tonight? It's not found in a church. It's found alone in Christ. Where is your faith tonight? What are you depending upon? Thank God for those in this meeting who are saved, who have fled to Christ, left behind their sin, trusting in Him and in Him alone. You're safe in Christ tonight. Why? Because in the cross of Calvary, the judgment of God for your sin fell on Him. In judgment, God will not twice demand. Once at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again at mine. If you're saved, you're protected in Christ, under His blood. But if you're out of Christ, you have no protection tonight. And when the wrath of God falls on you, you will perish. You will endure the judgment of God for your own sin. you will endure that for all eternity. It is one thing to die. To die an ungodly life, having lived a life of sin, having lived a life of wickedness. But it's an entirely different thing, I believe, to die an ungodly life with all the privileges just as Lot's wife had. Here was a woman that had reached the very gate of heaven to her soul, yet she perished. Are there degrees of punishment in hell? Yes, I do believe so. Here was a woman who was privileged. And yet, in spite of it all, she perished. And I believe her judgment will be far worse than those who didn't have the privileges that she had. Here was a woman with all the privileges and yet died and went to hell. If you know the way of the gospel, you know you need to be saved. You've heard the gospel so often, brought up in the things of God, and yet you, like Lot's wife, disobey it and reject it. I believe your judgment will be all the more severe in hell. Here was a woman, right at the very gates of heaven, yet went to hell. John Bunyan, in his book Pilgrim's Progress, pictures the man who, realizing the burden of sin in his back, and he leaves the city of destruction before the wrath of God falls. And as he's leaving that city of destruction, his wife and his family are calling out to him, and they're calling him, "Come back, come back." But Mr. Bunyan says that he plugged his ears and he ran for his soul, crying, "Life, life, eternal life." But in Pilgrim's Progress, he accounts that as he was making his way towards the celestial city, and by the way of the empty tomb and of the cross, he tells of something that happened almost at the end of that story. Because just before he reached the gates of heaven, he meets a man that he names Ignorance. And he talks about Ignorance rummaging around in his pockets and fumbling about, and he asks him what he's doing. And he says, "I'm trying to find some money to buy my way into heaven." Right at the very gates of heaven, Mr. Bunyan speaks to him and tells him about the cost that was paid in Christ. But all of a sudden, as this man that he terms Ignorance is fumbling about and trying to get his way into heaven, all of a sudden he's taken away. And he's cast out into outer darkness. And Bunyan writes in his book, records these words, Then I saw that there was a way to hell, even from the gates of heaven. That could be the testimony of Lot's wife. The way to hell from the very gates of heaven. Oh, what a tragedy. What a tragedy tonight for one to be so close, to be so near, and yet to die, to perish, to be lost. But thank God today there is grace still given. There is a way back to God, praise God, tonight for those who will believe, be done with their sin, That way is when you come as a sinner to Jesus. That way is when you be done with the things of this world because it's got nothing, nothing of eternal value. And when you stand before God, as Lot's wife will one day stand, as all we will one day stand, to give an account and not be to account of what we've done with this world or what we've done in this world. Or any achievements we may have or not have in this world, we will be called to give an account with what we've done with Jesus Christ. Lot's wife rejected Christ, disobeyed the ways of God, and died as she lived a sinner. How will you stand before him tonight? Would you not rather have the hope of heaven and the horrors of hell? Would not rather tonight be done with your sin? Leave this world of sin behind and get to Christ. The assurance of sins forgiven and the hope of eternal life. Lot's wife thought that there was something more attractive in this world than Christ. She realized there wasn't. She realized all the attractions and all the allurements of this world counted as nothing. As we've said many years later, Jesus Christ used this woman as an object lesson. Tell men and women, proud religious sinners, to flee from God's wrath. And tonight, if we could open hell, tonight, if we could hear from the caverns of the damned, would we not hear the same words coming from the lips of Lot's wife, too? Remember the mistakes I made. Don't come to this place of torment, but rather go through with God and come to Christ. Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Don't look back to the world. There's nothing in this world. But rather get to Christ. Run to Him. And do it now. Before it's too late. Let's bow in prayer.